Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Rich Shields Golf Show podcast, everybody. Episode 167.
Nice.
More importantly, and I think the first point we should talk about now, how's Doreen?
Doreen, well, this is the good news about Doreen. We had in the Facebook group a lot of images of Doreen, and there was a clear winner.
Oh, yeah?
Carol Vorderman.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I think many listeners and viewers will be pleased with Doreen and yep. Carol Vorderman.
So for those who know about Doreen, you know, if you missed last week's episode, Doreen is the imaginary barmaid of our imaginary clubhouse. And we had a lot of excited people. Some of them I couldn't accept into the group on Facebook.
I can imagine. A bit risque.
But yeah, we had a good mixture. And a lot of people got it. They were on the right lines.
Yeah,
but
they weren't far off with it.
They weren't far off at all. But I think
Carol Vorderman, I mean, she's a spicy Doreen.
Yeah.
But hey, listen. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I think the next job for the next podcast is that Matt is going to get a picture of a frame and we'll put it on the back.
What about the secretary?
Ian.
Ian, okay. So, smartly dressed, young, cool.
No, Ian is, he's 65.
Okay.
He has an iPhone.
Nice.
Knows how to use it.
A watch, maybe Apple Watch?
Yeah, he's actually got an iPhone 14 Pro Max. He likes his tech. Shoot me. He likes his tech. He's in that kind of older demographic, but he's still kind of quite with it, which is a really nice bloke. He's 6 foot.
Okay.
Quite a slim build. Yeah. Nothing, you know, too big and burly. However, he doesn't never, ever, ever talk about this. You wouldn't know. But he's actually a black belt in karate.
Love it.
So he's quite hard on the sly, but you'd have to really, really, really anger him for him to get annoyed at you.
You'd have to be giving some verbal abuse to Doreen for Ian to start, you know, unleashing his black belt ability.
So a lot of the members who've known him for a long time, they don't talk about a lot. It's a bit, you know, it's not the done thing, but they know he's quite handy because there was 15 years ago outside the bank, a fella mugged a woman and Ian dropped this fella.
Wow.
Seriously dropped him.
Wow.
And people witnessed it, but he actually got an award for doing it for bravery.
Oh, wow.
So he can handle himself, but you would never know. I wouldn't say boo to a goose. Lovely bloke.
An award plus a criminal record.
Yeah, he's off 12 as well. Just get it round, he's off 12.
So, Ian, I want, in the Facebook group, pictures of Ian.
Ian.
Coming up next. If you've not part of this fictional clubhouse, get involved. It means you've needed to have listened to all 167 episodes.
Yeah, or you could be a social member.
Which is kind of, you've not quite listened to all, but you're on your way.
This would be a weird podcast if it was your first ever one. Imagine someone said to their mate, oh, you know what I love, me? What, Rick Shields, that guy, Gold. Oh, yeah, I watch him. He's got a podcast. I'll say a podcast. Yeah, it's all right, you know. Try it. Go on. Oh, go on, try it. They decide to put on episode 167 for the first time, and that's what they get delivered.
Well, that's the first bit of craziness. But to be honest, this episode today, we're going to be talking about golf, golf, and more golf. It might be the most golfy podcast we've ever done.
Well, yes.
Because you, me, and we had a special guest this week joining us for at least two of the rounds. We did three break 75s at three absolutely phenomenal golf courses here in the UK.
Yeah, it was quite hard for me because obviously I've been off on paternity leave. So I had to come back into
work. Oh, here
we
go.
It's like, oh, back into work, playing these amazing golf courses. I'm not going to say it affected my ability, though. I still got it round to some degree. But yeah, we played some fantastic ones. So these break 75s are coming in the next few weeks.
Yeah, so don't completely bombard us on social media. When's this video coming out? They will be coming out very soon, within the next 3 to 4 weeks.
You can say one course, I'll say the next, you say the next. This is the quality of courses.
the first course that's going to be coming up in the next Break 75 video, home of many Open Championships, last played in 2017, won by Jordan Spieth. The next Break 75 is at the wonderful, outstanding Royal Birkdale.
Rick, let me stop you there. I like watching Break 75. I like watching you play golf. I don't mind guy beyond them occasionally. Birkdale's great, but sell it to me. How did you elevate this Break 75 over any other one?
Well, Birkdale, in its own right, elevates a Break 75.
Okay.
It is, and I know you've got now maybe more refined thoughts about Royal Birkdale this time.
Yep.
The golf course is spectacular.
Correct.
It really is. We filmed there last, in fact, it was just before you got married. So what was it, nearly 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Middle of summer, we had a beautiful evening, and it was very, very tough. Mm. And I think the first time you played it, maybe your perspective of the golf course maybe wasn't quite as refined as it is now.
I think what I struggle with, I think this is the case for lots of things in life, when you have something or try something or go somewhere that people absolutely rave about, it can sometimes be quite difficult to actually get that feeling. Do you know what I mean? And I'd obviously heard about how good Royal Birkdale is, and it is. It's one of the top five courses in the country, certainly top 10.
If I'm honest, I actually think it often gets rated number one in England.
I suppose in England, yes. Sorry, yeah, exactly, in England. It's unbelievable. And when I played it, I enjoyed it, but I don't know what it was. I didn't come away being like, oh my God, whereas some other courses I have done now, the only thing that correlates is some of the courses I've come away with absolutely loving are ones that I went into with quite low expectations, and then also ones that I played quite well at, which massively helps. But this time, playing Birkdale, I unbelievably got it. I looked at it a lot more as well. Some of the holes that I didn't really think about last time were holes where I hit terrible drives, where I was looking in the rough for my golf ball. This time, I tried to really soak in all the surroundings, the little amphitheatres, the sand dunes. The condition of it for January was insane.
Really, really good. We've had so much rainfall recently here in the UK, and also snow more recently. We drove out only an hour from here in Manchester over to Southport, and it was like being in a different country. It really was like the ground, there was not a bit of frost, not a bit of ice, not a bit of snow. Even though it rained the same, because of the type of land it's on, obviously historic Lincs land, it drains so perfectly. Yep. And you're right, it's very interesting, Birkdale, because the only thing that you can actually judge Birkdale on is the actual golf course. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, I get tricked sometimes into my favourite golf courses, sometimes are the external factors.
Yeah.
So the scenery, the views, where it's positioned in the world, like the weather, things like that, where you're like, oh my God, you're walking down an iconic hole by the side of the water, and it's, a bit like Crail. Mm-hmm. When I played Crail, it's one of, when with Iona, I know obviously you joined us halfway round, you look around there and like, wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing, amazing golf venue. But actually the golf course, if you actually remove that golf course and placed it somewhere else, it might not be quite as spectacular.
Yeah, and I do think as well, and I think a lot of amateur golfers get this, when you go and play a new golf course, if you play well, you enjoy it so much more, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think that can almost taint your perception of the golf course and make you think it's better than it is. Or equally, if you play badly, I think the course is worse than it is.
I think now, certainly you've played a lot more. Well, we both have a lot better golf course over the last couple of years doing the Break 75s. When I now go to a golf course like that again, I've been lucky enough to play Royal Birkdale a number of times. I've always held it in such high regard. I look at it now in a different light of almost the architecture of the golf course, mm-hmm. like the way that the bunkers have been placed and shaped, and the way that the green complexes are unique and different. And it challenges you. It makes you think. It makes you, you can get the wrong side of the holes and you can make a bit of a fool of yourself. It was a thinking man's golf course.
You need to have played a golf course more than once to get that, though. Because obviously, I'm lucky now to play the old course, St Andrews, twice. And the first time, I absolutely loved it. But that was so much about the emotion of playing. Obviously, you surprised me. I've told that story many a time. One of the best days of my life. Incredible. It was very tough conditions as well. But then the second time I played it, I wouldn't say I enjoyed it any more. But actually looking at the holes and the run-ups and the little bumps in the bunkers there, you actually see it with your eyes more open, if that makes sense. But this Break 75 was different. We played at Royal Birkdale, as you've said. My goal on the day was, can I break 80? And I won't spoil anything. Could I break 80? Your goal, obviously, was, can Rick Shields break 75 at Royal Birkdale?
So then we needed another guest.
We did.
To see if they could break 70 at Royal Birkdale. So we invited your friend, yes, and mine, and the listeners and viewers' friend, Mr. James Robinson.
Yes.
Now, you've seen James on many videos we've done in the past. We've had him on the podcast. James is an established, incredible player. He used to play on tour. I still scratch my head to why he's still not on tour, but I kind of get it as well. Played in the Open in 2018 at Carnoustie. We've done challenges with him where I've given him some bloody awful golf clubs to play golf with, and he can still make them work. He might be one of the best players I've played golf with.
He's unbelievable. He's so
it's annoyingly good.
I said something to the camera, which I'm not sure we'll end up putting in the cut, because I wasn't quite sure if I articulated it very well. It was meant to be a funny joke, but James is a lovely guy. He's a good-looking lad. He's got the best set of teeth you've ever seen.
Great hair.
Amazing hair. He's dead slim. Great tan. Amazing golf swing. He's a family man. He's like that perfect guy. He just hates you so perfect. But deep down, obviously, you love him to bits. But yeah, this was a great... I think as well, without knowing the edit yet, it might be a bit of a longer break 75. Even though break 75s are normally on the longer side, no people enjoy watching them maybe in two halves or taking the time with it. But on this one, you've got me as the more kind of average golfer trying to break 80. You as obviously a professional trying to break 75. And then James as a tour professional, really, trying to break 70. There's almost three different narratives to kind of get your teeth stuck into. It was a tough day.
Really tough.
The course was phenomenal. There was one, winter green?
Yeah, we had one temporary just because they were doing some maintenance work.
Fine. At the golf course, the tees in particular, the condition of the tees was literally ridiculous. The greens were very, very good. The fairways were pristine. It was a true test of golf, and that's going to be a really good video that I'm very much looking forward to people seeing.
So that'll be the next Break 75 that comes out, be out in a couple of weeks. The other thing I just want to mention here now as well with James. James is moving into a very exciting new role.
He has.
And James, as you know, once he decided not to continue his pursue career as being a tour professional, and we've mentioned that many times on the podcast, certainly when we had him on as a guest, like the levels are just ridiculous. He now turned his hand to coaching, and he's formed a very, very successful coaching business. He actually coaches in my old coaching room at Lytham Golf Academy. He's now taken a very exciting role as head of coach at St. Anne's Old Links,
yes,
which is a wonderful golf course in St. Anne's Lytham. And Dan Webster, who we've had on the podcast as well, fantastic guy. He's moved his attention after 30 years as being head pro at St. Anne's Old Links. He's now moving his direction more into focusing on the Lytham Golf Academy, which he also owns and runs. So massive good luck with Dan with that. But James has given the opportunity to coach at Lytham at St. Anne's Old Links. It's going to be a really exciting time for him.
It's going to be, yeah, it really is. And one thing that I kind of told you about but didn't fully tell you about was the next golf course we'll come on to in a minute. We played another round the following day at an unbelievable golf course. And while me and James went on the putting green, we were waiting for you to get there, and we were just doing some putts. And obviously at James's new job, he is now going to be able to coach people on just normal kind of swing lessons, which obviously is what you think of when you think of a golf coach or a golf lesson. But being at a golf club, he's now got facilities like a putting green, a short game area, an actual outdoor driving range, a golf course, obviously. He's got all these different aspects he can coach on. And we had probably a half an hour chat. There wasn't really a lesson, but it kind of was, of him telling me how he puts. And I learned so much. And one of the big takeaway things was, it wasn't about technique too much. It was about pace. How when you're putting, certainly from 20 foot, 30 foot and longer, how obviously pace is so important, because you're never going to be massively, certainly on a straight putt, too far offline, are you? But if your pace is correct, you're going to have a much better chance at two putting. Now, these things all sound quite obvious. Another thing he told me, which again, obvious, but I don't do enough, is to judge the wind on a putt. I obviously on a tee, on a par three or par four, whatever it might be, think about the wind. I need to aim left, I need to aim right, I need to club up, club down, whatever. On a putt, I never think about it.
No.
And he was showing me this as well, and we did some little putts together, and I came away and I felt like I'd learned stuff that I kind of, and it was in my, it was deep down in my brain, but I'd not unlocked it. And another little, you know, if you are thinking of going for lessons, either your local pro or going seeing James, things like that that aren't just swing lessons can actually, and you'll tell me better, they surely can be as important to improving your golf.
So good. Course management and just understanding how to get the golf ball around the course.
Do you think more players should have playing lessons as opposed to kind of swing lessons?
There's pros and cons of on-course lessons. I obviously used to do them many years ago. On-course lesson, you can really see how a player will navigate a golf course. Yeah. The decisions they make, the good decisions, but also obviously the bad decisions. The downside of on-course playing lessons, certainly in my experience, is sometimes you're actually not seeing that golfer in their most natural, comfortable environment.
Yeah.
Because for them, it's quite, for many golfers that I was coaching, it was quite like somewhat daunting. Mm. You've got somebody there properly on a golf course analysing your performance. Yeah. And sometimes you may be not as natural as you would be normally. And sometimes I think when I was coaching guys on the golf course, they were almost telling me stuff that I actually don't think they ever did. Do you know what I mean? They're almost talking to me in the things that I want to hear, as opposed to actually what they do. So it'd be better, and this is obviously very difficult to do, it'd be great if you could monitor a golfer without them even knowing.
Yeah.
Do you know, if you could almost follow them, like hidden in the bushes, with like like following them and properly seeing what they actually do and what they think. Like obviously you'd need to extract that information out of them. The slight downside with on-course lessons is obviously you don't quite hit as many shots in a longer time. But I'm not saying you shouldn't do. There's definite pros, like you say, that little tidbit that you might just get off James or another coach about, from this position, you ever thought about this, doing this shot? And they go, no. And they try it and they go, wow, that's going to save me 3 or 4 shots around. Yeah. So, you know, I definitely think golfers should do it, but I still don't think it's perfect, unfortunately. But yeah, good luck with James. The other thing that I was going to mention with James as well is when he was on the golf course, and I think we probably think quite similar to this, correct me if I'm wrong, I think too much in the future.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When I play golf.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, right, if I make par here and I birdie the next, and I've got that par 5 coming up, so I'll try and birdie that. Do you think the same?
I do, but this shows a lot about my game. Probably in an opposite way, I'm thinking, if I can par this hole, well, next hole's a tough one, so I'm worried about that hole. I think about I think about the worrying holes rather than the opportunities. But James said about 4 times to us, the most important shot, literally, of the day is the next shot you've got.
And I never think like that. I probably obviously do in the moment. When I'm walking between holes or walking between shots, I'm trying to plot my way around the next few.
But that's the thing, though. Again, James had a European tour card. He played in the Open, so obviously got through Open qualifying. You cannot be thinking about the whole 3 holes ahead if you're going down the back 9 in Open qualifying, because otherwise you would never play well.
No.
So it just shows a level. But yes, the next break 75, which will come hopefully the following week, was it? I'm going to say it now on camera and on the podcast. Let me just double check. I'm happy to say this. I am. Yeah, my favourite golf course. I'm going to say it now. My favourite golf course in Wallace, in the world.
In the world.
I'm going to say it now, but I might regret it. No, I'm going to go with it. My favourite golf course in the world, Wallasey.
You said it.
It's bold, but I love it. And I'm going to come on to why I love it in a moment. But again, we played there with James. break 80, break 75, break 70. What a day.
Golf course was a little bit longer than Birkdale.
Yeah.
From the tees we played off. In absolutely incredible condition.
Insane.
Like, incredible condition. For January, with how much rain we've had and snow and ice, you could have been mistaken. That could have been in April, May, we played that golf course.
That golf course condition is literally better than most golf courses will be in the peak of summer. You know, golf courses that I've been a member of, that are Parkland courses, that are in line, obviously take the water not very well. That literally in January, other than the fact it's windy and cold, they can't help that, obviously. It's better.
Yeah.
No questions asked.
So it was tougher conditions, I would say.
Yes.
Windier, colder, longer golf course. What an interesting round of golf.
Yeah, what a... Well, just come on to the reason it's my favourite golf course ever. There's a few holes. I'll start with the negatives, then come on with the positives. There's a few holes that aren't super, super memorable.
Yeah.
That aren't brilliant, I'll be honest, compared to the holes. However, the holes that I would say aren't the best are actually kind of par fives that are birdie chances.
Yeah.
So although they're not the most spectacular scenery, actually when you're playing golf, are the holes that you may be thinking, this is a birdie chance. So it kind of actually works out that you do enjoy them anyway. But I was thinking last night when I went to bed about the golf course. Condition, massive tick. There's a number of holes on that golf course that are, I believe, and I've not played that many courses compared to some people, a world class.
Yeah, they are. There's the fourth hole, the par five.
World class.
Elevated tee. The something C on the right-hand side.
Is it the Irish Sea?
On the right-hand side. Views over everything.
Insane.
I mean, it's a fairly straightforward hole, par five, but it's, like I say, it's that scenery. That hole is beautiful. The third hole, the one before that,
yeah,
cracking hole. Like, really interesting architecture. Kind of, again, you've got to hit a drive into the, almost like the funnel of the fairway, and then you've got an elevated shot up into the green, and the green's an upside down saucepan, so you can't miss right and left. The wind you don't feel when you're back down on the fairway or in that lower part. So as soon as you hit the ball up, the wind affects it. That next hole, then you play some really, really interesting holes. I don't want to go through them all, but
I think 11 is world class.
11's amazing.
12 is world class.
And then you at 12, the par three is so
unbelievable.
Good. Old Tom Morris designed hole from back in the day.
Such a good hole. There's a couple then aren't super wow, I would say. I think the par three was at 16, incredible.
So
17, incredible. 18, incredible. The clubhouse is very kind of traditional yet modern. If that makes sense.
It's traditional when you look at it from the outside,
but modern inside and nice and fresh.
Welcoming.
100%. The food was phenomenal. You know, the pro shops well stocked. I know I'm really bigging it up here, but I genuinely feel that strongly about it. It's for me, it's one of the best golf courses around. Like I said, it is my favourite. Really, really like it. And I think as well, partly why I like it, although it's well known in the area, obviously it's right near Royal Liverpool, which we'll come on to in a moment. It's a lot of, you know, if you're a really keen golfer in the northwest of England, you might have played it or you'll heard of it. It's where obviously Stableford was born. We've told that story before. But it's probably not a golf course that maybe if you're down south or from Scotland, you might really know much about. But I really, the course I've played, I can't think of any that beat it, seriously.
And one of us on this table played okay.
One of us on this table played okay, and one of us went out of bounds four times in three holes.
We'll let you decide. we'll let you wait for the video to see that. I feel like I don't want to give too much away because things can change quite a bit, but there was plenty of birdies made by James on both of those days.
There was.
Like outrageous amounts of birdies by James at Birkdale and at Wallasey. There was a fair share from you and me.
Yeah, no, more from you, but there was.
If we would have played as a team, as a three-man team, we would have been...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Unbelievable.
You again, I'm not going to give this away. Well, I'm going to give a little spoiler. I don't care. I'm going to do it. You played very well.
Thanks.
I was very impressed. And James kept saying to me off camera as well, he was very impressed how you were playing. We won't give any scores away. For my own sanity, I didn't play brilliant. There were some shots I hit, though, that for me were world class.
Yeah,
there was a 3-iron that hit. That was just unbelievable. So it's one of those days where it was great to be on, again, my favourite golf course. I won't say that again. My favourite golf course. It was great company. There was
some, I won't say that again, and you said it straight
golf
away.
Course. Sorry, I'm done with it now, I promise. But yeah, what a day. We've also this week filmed, this is arguably one of the most exciting Break 75s we'll ever make.
So again, we've gone Birtdale in Southport. We've then gone Wallasey in the Wirral. And then just up the road from Wallasey in the year 2023, the circus of the golfing world will drop down in July to Royal Liverpool.
The Open.
Hoylake. 151st Open Championship. As you know, the Open, I feel genuinely, I know you asked me this question a few, maybe 100 podcasts ago, okay? What's my favourite major? I'm now fixed on it's the Open.
Genuinely.
I think it was, to be honest,
You were very seasonal. I think originally you were Masters.
I was.
Then you kind of went, I'll go whichever season it is. Are you now going to pledge your alliance? Is that the word? Allegiance?
Yeah, allegiance.
To the Open.
I think that the 150th at St. Andrews tipped it for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said it in the podcast a few episodes ago just before Christmas that was my highlight of 2022.
Insane.
It was absolutely phenomenal. Now, the challenge is whether any Open can ever live up to that. That's going to be a challenge. But what I love about the Open, certainly when it's so close to us, it just, the excitement, you feel like you're living in the excitement.
Yeah. There's no right or wrong favourite major. There are people who'll have an argument for all four majors. I think most people would live in the camp of, well...
But if you think the PGA Championship and the US Open Championship are the best majors, you're wrong.
For me, it's the Open. But I can also happily say to people why. You know, people might say the Masters, I can live with that. I don't think for us, me and you, as a spectator, anything will ever top 150 at St. Andrews because it was 150, it was at the old course, we were so excited for it. I don't think it will. However, what's exciting with the Open and with all golf tournaments is, who knows, this next one, the 151, could have an unbelievable final. It could be, let's just say, Tiger, Rory, Cameron Smith in a three-way playoff. We don't know. Who knows until it happens. Like you said, the exciting thing for us is Royal Liverpool, for me, is about 45 minutes from my front door, about an hour and a bit for you. It's so close, literally on our doorstep. You've got the city of Liverpool, just kind of a 15-minute drive through the tunnel. I think the city will be booming. I'm very, very excited. The golf course is a golf course that I've now played twice. I'm going to come on to this. It's definitely grown on me the more I've played it. But we had a phone call from the R&A who said, hey, Rick, we like Break 75. Do you want to do a Break 75? We can bring a claret jug. We can support you on this. And your answer
was... Bring
a
claret jug.
Brought the claret jug. And you were like, yeah, let's do it.
So this is a collaborative Break 75 with the R&A and the Open. And we sprinkle a little bit of extra Open magic dust on this Break 75. We play it with the correct way, with the Open routing, which again, if you're not familiar, the actual Royal Liverpool, if you went and played it today, you'd actually tee off on what is in the Open, the third tee. For the Open, they actually start on what is now as you play it, is the 17th tee. So we played it, the Open routing. I got an official caddy, with an open bib.
You did. What a lovely shield. What was his name? Can you remember?
I think it might have been Ian.
It was it. It was a really, really lovely man. I feel bad. I can't remember his name.
I'm sure it was Ian. Claret Jug was there. We had some extra support and camera work from the open themselves. And I'm excited to see what that looks like. The condition was cold but fair.
Yep.
It was really, really raining in the morning. We pushed back the tea time as far as we could get. So we got that beautiful golden hour as we played the last two or three. But more importantly, we actually got the golden hour, the perfect time when we played the 17th, the new par 3 17th, which honestly, for the Open this year, may make or break the champion. There's going to be some drama on that hole.
It's such a short hole that can literally destroy scorecards. I'm a big fan of that hole. I know, like we've said this before, a lot of people aren't a fan of it, which I can understand if it destroys your score. But I think, like you said, that's going to really cause some excitement down the stretch. But what's arguably even more exciting as well, if you are a fan of Break 75, which hopefully a lot of you watching, listening are, this one, as we said, was a collaborative effort with the RNA, with the Open, the One Club as well. They have also filmed a behind the scenes of how Break 75s get put together. They filmed us getting there. They filmed us looking around the clubhouse. I think they filmed us eating our lunch.
The toilet.
Yeah, that was really...
I mean, personal, but...
A bit close, that one.
You have to pay for that content.
Yeah, that's the new... We're going to come on to that later on. But yes, there's another video that's going to live on the Open, on the One Club, and also possibly in the future on the Open's YouTube channel of a behind the scenes of a Break 75. It's good.
Amazing. The golf was fantastic. It's an interesting finish. You've got to stay tuned for that. And that will be then, from this point next, that will be the third Break 75 you'll see. So you'll see Birkdale first, Wallasey, then Royal Liverpool. Three amazing golf courses, three fantastic Break 75s. Unfortunately, James couldn't join us, but that was one of the things this week. We might bring James in for a few others in the future.
It's really good.
We were talking about maybe a Scotland little trip. Yes. Go and do 4 or 5 days up in Scotland. So certainly on kind of in that spot that's kind of a little bit outside of St. Andrews, kind of southeast coast, but like go to like your Renaissance, your Archerfield, Gullen, places like that. I think that could be a little trip, North Berwick.
I think what's good with those, and I'm calling this, people may disagree, hopefully they do agree though, is that when we do a Break 75, obviously typically, well obviously it's about your score, how you get on, and you have guests on, sometimes myself, other people, and that's really good as well. But having that kind of three different scores to follow, it just showed how like different levels of ability can tackle different courses, doesn't it? So for example, if you got a scratch handicap of a 10, a 15, a 28 and put them on a Parkland course in nice, flat, calm conditions, it's anybody's bet who would win because they've obviously got handicaps. That's the whole point of handicaps. However, if you gave them those same golfers on a golf course, a links course in the wind, in the rain, I would typically always bet on the best player winning because they are going to probably, even if they shoot 5 over the handicap, they're not a million miles off. We're no disrespect to 28 handicap golfer, but they haven't probably really got the skill set to tackle the elements. And even, you know, I'm not a brilliant golfer, but even at my level and your level to some degree, certainly on a couple of the days or one of the days, I got affected much more by the conditions than you did. And then you got affected, well, you didn't actually, you did really well, but James got affected probably the least. Does that kind of make sense?
Well, our ball flights, with any level of curvature, were getting punished by the wind.
Yeah, massively.
Where James looked like he was playing in some kind of cylinder, that the wind didn't affect his golf shot because he had less curvature on it. So yeah, all those are coming up. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe to the main channel so you don't miss out on any of those videos. Also a note on that, thank you so much for the new influx of subscribers we've had on this channel.
Yes.
Wow, we're up to 208,000 subscribers now. We're doing a giveaway for the little bit of merchandise, the prototype merchandise, which probably will never see the light of day, and the head cover and the towel. These are kind of samples we had sent in. That draw is going to be done on the 31st of January, so there's still time to subscribe. Leave a comment on this video and we'll pick a lucky winner. And then next week, I'm jumping on an aeroplane again.
You are?
I'm leaving you again. I'm sorry.
Didn't want to come anyway.
Obviously, you're at the moment with a little baby that you obviously need to be at home and you need to be around. We've taken the opportunity to tie in a trip to the PGA show, which I've not been to in maybe 3 or 4 years.
I feel like you last went at the start of 2018. So that's going to be 5 years now, believe it or not.
So the PGA show... certainly over the last 10 years of doing YouTube, I've probably been 5 or 6 times to the PGA show. It's really an industry show where a lot of brands will go and kind of show off, basically.
I've never been. For people listening who don't even know what it is, explain the scale of it. Because sometimes they have ridiculous golf shows in the UK where it's like you go to like a NEC centre, for example. You've got a large room, to be fair, with like five or six manufacturers. Your holiday destinations might be there, whatever. Explain how big the PGA show is compared to those kind of things.
So first off, it's at Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. Guy, this place is massive. It's massive. I'd actually love to see it completely empty. I couldn't give you a scale of how big it is, but I feel like you could easily fit in a couple of par fours side by side.
One thing I'd like then, this is a bit of a request for Matt, who's behind the camera. Maybe for this channel, potentially, I don't want to promise anything, but maybe a bit of a vlog of you there. Maybe Matt can film you mooching about, showing some of the stuff off. And if it comes out pretty well, we could maybe sit on this channel, people could watch it and get a bit behind the scenes, maybe.
Pretty much all your major brands are there.
Yeah.
So from your big, I mean, typically, certainly back in the day, TaylorMade, but I'm not sure if they're there this year. It was always a big, I'm trying to word this in the most, not X-rated where I can. It's a little bit of
who's got the biggest?
Who's got the biggest?
Driver.
Well put.
Who's got the biggest size head?
Who's got the biggest head at these shows?
Who's got the longest shaft?
Who is correct? Perfectly put. It's a shaft measuring competition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine's stiffer than yours.
So
let's stop now. We get the picture.
So a lot of brands will put a lot of emphasis on the stand.
Yeah.
And certainly Callaway in the past have been the biggest shaft measurers in the exhibition centre.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
People who are listening, you need to watch the podcast. Rick's just sat with his arms wide open for like 30 seconds.
And often they'll have like massive big displays. And I remember last time when they had Jailbreak with Epic, they had this massive driver head above the stand and the Jailbreak bars there. You've got all the irons, drivers, you've got everyone, you know, not Bob Vokey, he's a different brand. But to be honest, he's been there. Like when Titleist have got it, Titleist are a bit weird with their stand.
Okay.
So everyone wears white blazers.
I've heard this actually.
It's a bit weird, really. But round the Titleist stand, you might be walking around and suddenly Scotty Cameron walks past you, or Bob Vokey walks past you, or you know, you might be on the Callaway stand and they might have shipped in a tour pro or a long drive guy, or Annika Sorensen's there, or whatever it may be. You know, TaylorMade, when I think I last went there in 2018, I think it was, you're right, they announced the signing of Tiger Woods. That was a big thing. They had this big screen with all these cool Tiger Woods images and this, that, and the other. Typically, back in the day, it was where brands would launch their new driver lineup. And that's why still now, and it frustrates me, it really does, that's why right now you're seeing all these new driver releases coming out at the start of January, because really, traditionally or historically, we're tying with the PGA show.
Well, what if I'm right in thinking this, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the point of it years gone by, and let's say 10, 15, 20 years ago, would be that the golf brands would all go there, the manufacturers would go there, all the PGA pros in North America, not all of them, but the vast majority would go for a week, well, for a few days, and they would go and place their orders with said manufacturers. Let's just say I'm John Stevens, I'm the head pro at Shields Golf Club. I go there for 3 days, I order my drivers with Callaway, with TaylorMade, I have a quick look at other stuff, and I come back, and then next month, all my deliveries come to my pro shop.
Correct.
Obviously now, that's not how it works. People have the internet, they have booking systems, they have reps that go into the stores, et cetera, et cetera. What then really is the point of it?
It's a bit of a jolly up.
Okay. There's a golf industry jolly up.
I think so. I'm sure the business is happening out there. Like, I've got some really important meetings out there with either my partners that I've worked, obviously with Top Tracer or Echo or Lyle and Scott, or, you know, I might chat to a few other brands that might be interested in doing some work with me. And again, we made it very clear in last week's podcast, those brands aren't going to be tied into manufacturers. But you've got those things. The other section of the PGA show, which I probably neglected last time I went, you've also got a section that is almost like new inventions.
Yeah.
Like you've got all these crazy like scientists and all sorts coming up with all weird, wonderful, wacky ideas for how they can make golf better.
On a much, much smaller scale, when I went to the Manchester Golf Show, which you were obviously at many moons ago, you got those little stores, and some of them, you think, oh, that's quite a bit of potential. And some of them are absolutely horrendous.
Terrible.
But that's kind of the beauty of these industries, isn't it? That people can have an idea and some will take off and some will not. It's like watching Dragon's Den, or is it Shark Tank in America? But no, it should be exciting. And as well as that, I'm just conscious, annoyingly, we have got a bit of a tight for time on the podcast today. So I apologise for that, people. But you're also, when you're out there, taking the cameras, you're taking Matt, you're going to be filming. Talk to me.
So... the PGA Show will do a little bit of filming. You've got, sorry, just a quick one, on the demo day as well.
Oh, sorry, the demo day
is at Orange County Golf Club, and it's a massive circular driving range. And around this circular driving range, you've got all these brands plotted around, whether it's Callaway or Titleist or whatever, all the way around, and you can whack some products and this, that, and the other. I remember back in the day, I used to do a few reviews there.
Yeah, I remember
watching them. Like, I remember doing Nike reviews and things like that.
Have you met GM golfer, Garrett?
Oh yeah, that was years and years and years
Matt,
ago.
So you get this picture up where Rick met Garrett at the Wilson stand.
It's when I inspired him to become a YouTuber. Yeah,
pull that picture up if you're listening.
I did when I was a judge on the Driver versus Driver 2 with Wilson and Golf Channel. I, you know, did a lot of testing there, and yeah, it was all. So that's on the Tuesday. We might do a little bit of filming there. That's where also my favourite part of it is where, you know, on course vehicles are also showcased. So it might be like a Harley Davidson type bike where you can put your golf clubs on the back,
nice, a little fridge and stuff,
or like a golf cart that goes like 70 miles per hour and things like that. So I'm sure there'll be some wacky things there as well.
Don't injure yourself.
So that's Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, the actual trade show, and then from Friday the trade show is gone. Get out of here.
You're sourcing at this point.
Sourced out. Baby beers are plenty. We'd have drank Orlando out of 43 liqueur and Bailey's. But then 5 days of filming at 5 incredible golf courses. Now, at the moment, what we're doing at those golf courses is a little bit up in the air, whether it's challenging other creators, whether it's challenging tour pros that might be in the area, whether it's breaking 75 at some of these. But the 5 golf courses I've got lined up, and 4 of them have confirmed and booked in, they are absolutely phenomenal. Yeah,
the exciting thing is, that you know, as a backup, you've got 5 insane break 75s. That's the exciting thing. Like, they're going to be unbelievable top quality. However, there's this idea that could potentially be, I said, other creators, other tour pros. Obviously, just kind of tying up a few loose ends at the moment. But you're going to be coming back from this trip essentially with a suitcase full of banger videos.
Yes.
It's exciting.
That's what we actually record on VHS tapes. And I put them all in a suitcase. And just bring them all. but yeah, hopefully that's going to be really good. And then start of February then, we can start editing and start filming some new content.
Yeah, it's going to be a very busy couple of months. The plan is as well, so you've heard this here first, next week's podcast, we plan to do it remotely. So I will be here in the studio and you will be in America and you can fill me in and the audience in on how it's going. Fingers crossed that all goes to plan. If it doesn't, big worst case, we'll miss that week maybe. Or you might do one abroad, I don't know. And then the following week, we'll be back to normal.
Yeah.
But don't worry, the podcast is going nowhere. We've got some very exciting plans. There's some exciting guests lined up as well in the coming weeks and coming months. Before we end this one, it's a bit of a short one today. I do apologise. We've got some other things we've got to commit to. But I've got an email I want to read out. And this is a bit more, we've had a bit of a funny start to the podcast, a bit silly sometimes. But this is a bit more of a deep one. I feel like I might tear up again on this one. I'm going to try not to. But I wanted to read it out. I'm not going to read out the guy's full name because he actually never did say to read it out. But I think if I just keep...
might get seen on that camera.
If I just... Can you use that all right, Matt, like that? If I just read out his first name, or his kind of abbreviated first name, I think that'd be okay. It's from Cam. He said, hi, Rick and Guy. I've gone back and forth about writing as I'm fairly writing this email because I'm fairly reserved. But I think it's important for you to know the positive impact you've had on me recently. I'm 29 years old. I've been a long-time viewer on YouTube, but recently started to watch the podcast and listen to the podcast. The Break 75 series really drew me in, and it's gotten to the point where I have to watch every episode the day they come out. Unexpectedly, the podcast and YouTube channel have helped me through a really tough time over the past few months. My dad had been battling cancer for the past decade, and his condition recently took a turn for the worst, forcing my family to move into a 24-hour care facility. For most of November and December, I would drive every day an hour each way to visit him and sometimes stay overnight just to make sure he was okay. During the drive to visit him, I would listen to the podcast and it would make me forget about everything going on. I would smile and laugh, even if I was crying minutes earlier. When I was with him and he was resting, I would open my laptop and watch the most recent episode of Break 75. The way you have fun on the course made me feel like I was there and it gave me a mental break from reality. Combined, the podcast and YouTube channel made the hardest time of my life that tiny bit easier. Unfortunately, my dad passed away a few days before Christmas. Golf was a huge part of our relationship and wanted to share a picture of the last round of golf we played together in 2019. This was the last year he was physically able to play. He introduced me to the game 23 years ago, and I have been addicted ever since. In some of his last days, I remember sitting with my dad and watching Break 75 at Crail and thinking how amazing it would be to play there. The scenery of the landscape combined with the vibes from you and Iona had me in a trance. So I ended up booking a trip with my girlfriend to visit England and Scotland, and we'll be playing Crail in late April. I have no doubt that I never would have heard of the golf course like your content and cannot wait to experience golf in the UK for the first time at Crail. So to say this, thank you, Rick, Guy, and the entire team. When times are good, your content is fun, entertaining, and educational. When times are bad, your content is an escape from reality that can bring light to the darkest of times. Keep up the good work. I appreciate everything you do.
Wow.
What a lovely email from Cam.
Wow. God, that's... Well, thank you. Thank you for listening, watching, and I'm really sorry to hear about your dad. I'm sure he'll be very... he'll be looking down at you enjoying your time in the UK and Crail in Scotland and playing. So thanks for sharing that story with us, and like I say, really sorry to hear, but you know, if we can somehow brighten up people's day when times are hard, then you know, that's a certain perk of the job.
Yeah, no, I've sent him an email back, and I might send him another one actually, and I don't know, you know, the exact dates he's here and what our plans are in April. Obviously it's busy time with the Masters, but if he ends up travelling through near Manchester,
yeah,
and he wants to come and pop in and see the studio,
Studio tour,
we'll try and make that happen. But thanks so much, it means a lot.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching, really appreciate it. We will see you hopefully next week from a transatlantic podcast via
Banter Show,
via Zoom or something. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Cam. That was nice. Nice little touch. And Ian and Doreen, get back to work.
Yeah.
New members in the clubhouse every single week. Guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you